Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.
I was reading a group of psalms, right? It's a group of psalms that are together I think it's Psalm 120, yeah, to Psalm 134. They're called the Songs of Ascents. The song, and I read that as the Songs of Ascending. And there's a Jewish tradition that they're not quite sure how the songs were sung, but some think that they sung it as the Israelites were going to the temple, as they were journeying to Jerusalem. Others think that there's 15 steps leading up to the temple and 15 psalms, that songs that they would sing on each step. But as I just spend time with God, I like to go to God, but what does that mean for us, right? Say with me, what does that mean for us? Yeah, I realized God wants to prepare our hearts to praise. And I'm just aware that He is positioning us as people to not only to live out of praise, but to thrive out of a heart of praise, to thrive out of a position of praise. And this last 2 weeks, today as well, and yesterday, I've been so blessed by the sound of this congregation singing. It's like someone turned the volume knob up just a little bit. Okay, I know Bernadine sings well, but for too long the church has just been listening. And it's like the volume knob's gone up. And last week was the first time this year I'd not been on the stage in worship, and the sound of the church worshiping just blew me away. Because over there, we've got little earphones, and all I hear is us on stage, and it's all, I don't hear what's happening unless I intentionally listen. Guys, give yourselves a hand, like big time. Because God's doing something in our hearts. And I just realized last week, the more surrendered we are, the more we're seeking, and the more we're trusting in faith, the louder we sing. We don't sing when it's going well. We sing and then God does things. Does that make sense? Man, the louder the song, the deeper the cry for God. The louder the song, the deeper the thirst for His presence. Thank God there's drums in church. So last week we spoke a little bit about, and it just came out in the worship as well. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're moving. We spoke about how so often we're praying for things and we don't see God working or moving straight away. But there's things happening in the background. There's a shift in the spiritual world. And our positioning of praise is a part of that. Our positioning of praise is part of that shifting in the atmosphere, shifting in the kingdom. And I was reading Hebrews 2 verse 8, just to go along with that theme. It says, "For you have put everything in subjection under man's feet." God has put everything, say everything, in subjection. What does that mean? It means subjection. It means everything is under your feet. Say everything. He left nothing outside of man's control. Say nothing. Say it loudly. Okay, do you believe it? What's the opposite of nothing is impossible? Everything is possible. Okay, now some of you are going, they're actually the same thing. Then it says, but at present, we don't yet see all things subjected to man. So when we read that first bit, some of us are going, yeah, but what about this and what about that? And the writer of Hebrews said, God has already moved it and shifted it in the spiritual realm, but we don't see it in the physical. But what do we see, he asks. We see Jesus. Come on, just think about the worship now at the end. We see Jesus. So whenever your brain goes, I don't see it, you look at who? At Jesus. Because then that brings everything into subjection under your feet. Everything. Not just a little bit. Not just some things. Everything. So Jesus comes and he says, now, the Psalms, I'm just going back to the Psalms, and then I'm coming back to Jesus. The Psalms were the Psalms of ascent. And what I realize is man is at a place where they don't physically see everything in subjection. But there is a transitioning into everything is under his subjection. There is an ascending. But it's not you die and then very quickly ascend. It's God is a God of our hearts. God is a God of our minds. God is a God of the living. There is a working out of our faith. And as we look at Jesus, there is an ascending. You with me? The Bible says, do everything to work out your faith. Work it out. Grow in your faith. Ascend in the spiritual realm. Until, as we read last week, we will subdue kingdoms. Because everything is in subjection. But that ascending takes place when we realize, wow, that's what I'm going for. That spiritual kingdom reality is what I'm aiming at. And I start to press into praise. The songs of ascending. So every song we sing in church is a song of ascending. It takes us from just looking at our, you know, my feet are in miry clay. It lifts our eyes up and we start to ascend into his presence. And his reality becomes our reality. But for his reality to become our reality, God has to be very real in our lives. We've got to believe in the miraculous. We've got to believe in the supernatural. We've got to expect his presence to be moving amongst us, to be changing things, to be stir. Anyone in the room believe that God can do miraculous works in our lives? That's when his reality becomes our reality. So Jesus comes and he's no longer calling people to ascend into the temple, to ascend into the Holy of Holies. He's calling people to ascend into the kingdom of heaven. And he says, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He says, see, the kingdom of God is at hand. It is here. It is present. It is amongst us. So he starts to change hearts. He starts to call out hearts and say, listen, guys, we need to start to focus on the kingdom of heaven. Look, see. Those who have eyes will see. Those who have ears will hear. What are they seeing? What are they hearing? They're seeing and hearing the kingdom, even though they live on earth. Their reality is transformed. Their reality is changed. And I shared last week from 1 Chronicles 23 how the Levites were to open the way of worship, to open the way of praise. And they would stand every single morning and give thanks and lift up a sound of praise in the city. The whole city would wake up to the sound of praise. The whole city would wake up to the sound of gratefulness. And then they did the same every evening. so before you go to bed at night. Remember when we grew up, as I shared last week, we'd wake up and turn on the 7 o'clock news, and then we'd sit and eat dinner and watch the 7 o'clock news. And how last week I was listening to Impact Radio and was singing about the goodness of God, and they cut the song. I was like getting into it in the car, like, yeah, the goodness of God, and they cut the song short for the news. And I'm like, yo, that didn't gel. See, God's not asking us to focus on what's wrong. He's asking us to focus on what is His reality. Start your day off every morning with thankfulness and with praise. When I wake up in the morning and we're going to get the kids ready to school, you know how we get them out of bed? I choose the loudest praise songs. Program the kitchen speaker from my bed. I hit play. Boom. Praise. You can't feel bad in our house in the mornings. Okay, you can, but you're not supposed to. And because of last week's message, just getting in the car with the kids, I said, guys, what are you thankful for? And one of them's like, that it's Friday. I'm like, no, that's a negative thankfulness. That's like thankful that something's not there. No, what are you thankful for? Like what are you focused on? Something that's good. Not Friday's good. Don't get me wrong, but there was the week was long, and you know, you get what I'm saying. What are you thankful for? Because it opens up something in our hearts. So Psalms 122 is a song of ascending. It said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad when Daniel WhatsApped me and said, let us. Actually, it's Bernadine who WhatsApps you guys. I was glad when they said, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Psalm 122. I was glad. I was glad. I was glad. Church, the Bible says, worship Him in full congregations. There is something supernatural about setting aside your Sunday and being glad about coming to church, about coming to this house to worship Him. I can't think of a good enough excuse to miss worshiping in the house. Not one. Me, Bernadine, my mom, we're going to be here every Sunday. Justin too. WhatsApp on a Saturday. I was glad when they said to me, come to the house of the Lord. Why? Because nothing transitions and changes your heart than being in the presence of God and to be praising Him in full congregations. I can't name everyone in this room, but as I look across the room, there's not just four of us that come every Sunday. There are I can just be grateful. Remember, I started off saying I'm grateful for the sound of worship in this room. I'm grateful. God is grateful. But you, us who come, we're transformed as we step into worship, as we step into praise. I was glad. But who is they? David wrote, I was glad when they. Who is they? They refers to watchmen. And in Jeremiah 31, this is something that's close to my heart. This is part of my life story. In Jeremiah 31, verse 6, it says, for there will be a day when the watchmen of the hills cry out, arise, let us go up to Zion. In Isaiah 2 verse 2, it says, "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest mountain, as the highest influence. And it will be exalted above the hills, and all the nations will flow to it. And many people will come and say, 'Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths.'" Something's got to stir, and I'm thankful that this church is a church of worship. I'm thankful that every person sitting in this room has a passion to see God's glory, to see his presence, to worship him with everything inside of them. But there is a stirring taking place, not just in the church, but around the world, where people are starting to wake up to the realization that they need to worship God with everything that they have. There is a call going out that's saying, "Come up to the mountains." And if you're looking for a watchman, you're looking at one now. I have been called personally to be a watchman to the nations. Maybe you don't like the call that says, "Come and worship." But then there's a change that's got to take place. Because I'm going to reflect what God has spoken. I'm going to speak it out, and nothing can change his word. Nothing can change his presence. Nothing can change the truth that comes when God's Spirit is here, when his Spirit is real, when his Spirit is amongst us. We are becoming watchmen ourselves. My second name means watchman. And when I asked God, "What do I want to do? What must I do with my life?" He took me to this verse in Jeremiah 31. It said, "There will be a day when watchmen cry out." And he said, "That's you. Now go and call the people to praise. Go and call the people to worship. Draw them in. Call them. Call them. Call them. Call them, call them, call them to praise." Because there's something powerful. You see, watchmen were positioned on the walls throughout the night to look out for danger. But the watchmen aren't looking for danger anymore. They're looking out for the presence of God. They're looking out for the kingdom. And they're calling people to the kingdom. Imagine you hired a security guard to look out for the kingdom of God. ADT changed their mission and vision statement. We drive around and look for the presence of God. See, that's what we're here for. I'm getting fired up about this. Psalm 122 verse 4 says, "To which the tribes go up," so they go up to the house of the Lord, "as was decreed and as a testimony." And I realized there's two reasons why they went. One was the heart of obedience, as was decreed. There was an obedience to what was decreed. There was an obedience to the call. Obedience, to be fully obedient, you've got to come with a glad heart. Obedience only really takes root with a glad heart. Obedience only really takes place when we're faithful, when we're pursuing him. And I shared last year on how there really is a difference between faithfulness and legalism. We don't worship him out of legalism. We don't worship him out of tradition. We worship him because we're faithful. When we're faithful, we cultivate God's word. We allow it to press into our hearts, so that we do get to enjoy the fruits of obedience. Legalism doesn't produce fruit, but faithfulness does. Church, we've got to be faithful in our obedience. And it's a heart surrender. It says, "I want to see the goodness of God. And I'm going to surrender to his word. It's not a, if I do A, B, X, Y, Z, I will receive, like in a transaction. That's legalism. It leads to nothing. But faithfulness leads to fruit in obedience. And then secondly, they come because of a testimony. They come because they want to tell. They want to sing. They want to shout. They want to demonstrate the goodness of God. There's something about cultivating thankfulness, the habit of just giving glory to God in every situation. God, I give you glory. Oh, I'm in this problem. I'm in this trouble right now. But God, what do I give you praise for? Come on, Bernadine and I, just this week, been practicing, just when we're stuck in a situation and we want to go back to complaining, we ask each other, but what are we thankful for? It changes my heart's position. It changes my outlook. And then I have a testimony. Because I see the goodness of God in everything, in everything. And then it says in verse 5 of Psalms 122, to which the tribes go up, even the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed and as was a testimony, to give thanks to the name of the Lord, for there the thrones of judgment were set. And Isaiah 2 verse 4 says, he will judge between the nations and will decide disputes for many peoples, and they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And then in verse 6 of Psalm 122, it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. So, wait a minute. We come to the holy place. We come to his presence out of thankfulness. And then we're thankful because there is judgment. And then what flows out of judgment is peace. How does that make sense? See, your positioning, the way we position our heart is how we position judgment. Either you're one of those, don't judge me people, or you're one of those, judge me people. Hello? Either you're one of those, don't judge me people, or you're one of those, judge me people. Does that make sense? My mom says no. Okay, I've got to explain. Okay, Bernadine was writing, so I have to repeat it. Okay, we come to a place of worship out of a heart of praise. This is literally just Psalms 122, 4, 5, 6. I come with a heart of praise, with a heart of thankfulness, because there's a throne room of judgment. Number 5, verse 5. Verse 6, pray for peace. Peace flows out of thankfulness through judgment, and you get peace. If it was a factory with machines, you get it now. The product is peace. But it has to come out of judgment. Jesus is baptized. The Holy Spirit comes and the Father says, this is my Son whom I am well pleased. Judgment. Prince of Peace is born. Do you see it? Do you see it? The Bible says, actually, so that all your works, all the works of the believer may be fully on display, so that they can be judged as being full of God's presence. There's two kinds of people in this world. Those that don't want to be judged and those that want to be judged. Those that want to be judged are those that want to put their works on display. Nothing's hidden. Nothing is hidden. They are the ones who work for and maintain peace. Because they're only doing things which are not hidden, which are seen. There's a phrase that's well known. It says, only say or WhatsApp or text what you want to be displayed on a billboard next to the N1 highway. Where does it come from? How can you tap? Now, you can't legalistically watch everything you say. But if you're always in a position of gratefulness and always in a position of thankfulness, what you do and what you say will always flow out of that place. And you no longer have to check what's coming out. Jesus says the heart is, what comes out of the mouth is from the heart. It is an overflow of the position of the heart. So judge me, Jesus. This is a personal word because Daniel means God is my judge. This is my calling. I am called. I am named to say, to call people into judgment and into praise. You with me? So, the Israelites were grateful that there was judgment. They were grateful for the thrones. Okay, let's talk about happy people. I don't want it to be heavy, but I'm in awe of God. And I'm in awe of what His presence does in our lives. Henry Cloud says, my mom is jumping on her seat right now. She's been sending me Henry Cloud stuff for years. And I'm like, I don't like this guy named Henry. Just because his name is Henry. And then Shirley sent me Henry Cloud. And I'm like, okay, mom. He says 90%, 80%, 90% of people who are happy, say I'm happy, are motivated by thankfulness, by gratefulness. The video that was sent spoke about the fact that the society of psychology or whatever it is in the States in the 60s realized they're very good at helping people who have problems. But they've never done studies on what makes people happy. And when they started to do their study and they looked at the science, they realized that 80 to 90% of people who are happy have a heart of gratefulness. Henry Cloud says, the Bible always affirms what is scientifically found out. So the scientists figure it out, and the Bible people are like, but we knew this. We've known this all along. You can just come ask us. Does that make sense? Okay, so 80 to 90% of all people who are happy have a heart of gratefulness and thankfulness. But then he said something that just made me sit up. He said, people either are motivated. Now, be careful. I'm being careful not to say you are either this or you are that. But people are either motivated by thankfulness and gratefulness or by envy. One of the two. And all forms of bitterness, all forms of offense, all forms of jealousy, all forms of anything that doesn't come out of gratefulness has a motivation of envy. And he says this, envy works this way. It defines what is good as what we do not have. In other words, if I don't possess something, it takes a higher value than if I do possess it. He spoke about the new car smell effect. You get a new car, you like the smell of a new car. And 2 weeks later, someone else's new car smells better. You don't value your own anymore. Likewise, once I attain it, it is no longer valuable to me because I have it. It makes keeping up with the Joneses a full-time job. I always use the analogy. People who've never flown overseas envy those who fly. And the first time they fly in economy class and they envy everyone in premium economy. And then when you fly in premium economy, you envy the guys up in business class. And then you get to business class and then your eye catches first class. And people in first class, they wish they had their own plane. That's when we value what we don't have more than when we do actually have it. And the root of that is envy. It's one of the first commandments God gives us. Don't envy your neighbor. In other words, don't look over the wall and wish for what you don't have. Your happiness does not come from there. And it never will. They think another person's position or some other relationship or status or possession will make them happy. They think that the real things of value are the things that others have, not themselves. So they never feel grateful or content. There is always a next thing that will make them happy until they get it. But once they have the position, the possession, or the person that used to be the object of envy, they still aren't satisfied. Jesus speaks in Matthew 13, and this is what we have to have. We have to have an understanding of what the kingdom of God is, and we have to take possession of the kingdom, because it's only in the kingdom that we have gratefulness. Jesus said to his disciples, he says, "To you it has been given to know the secrets and the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to many it hasn't been given." And he says, "For whoever has spiritual knowledge, to him will be given more, and he will be furnished richly, so that he will have abundance. But he who doesn't have spiritual knowledge, even what he has will be taken away." And I read that verse in the context of gratefulness and envy. That's Matthew 13, verse 11 to 12. I read it in the context of gratefulness and in the context of envy. He who is grateful, to him will be given more. But to him who is envious, even what he has will be taken away from him. Jesus says in John 7, verse 38, "From your innermost being flow springs and rivers of living waters." All that is good flows from within you. Joseph is just a powerful picture of the difference between what flows from within and envy. We know his brothers envied his dreams. We know his brothers envied his favor. But Joseph was grateful in every area. And so he was given authority in every area of his life, even in prison, until he was given authority to subdue kingdoms. You get that? One shepherd boy, one farmer's boy has a dream, and the dream becomes a position of gratefulness. And that position of gratefulness carries him through and he subdues kingdoms. That's what God wants to reveal to us in his kingdom. And it was so powerful. It's one of my favorite pictures in the Bible, that moment where Joseph is about to reveal himself to his brothers after years and years and years and years. And as I read it, and I just realize their hearts, the brothers' hearts, have finally been set free of envy. The brothers' hearts have finally been set free from their position of brokenness. And they're finally seeing things out of gratefulness and out of thankfulness. God is good. God is good. God is good. I want to finish Psalm 122. It says, pray for peace. I read that in verse 6. May they prosper, those who love you. Verse 7 says, may peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord, I will seek, I will inquire for, and I will require your good. One of the songs of ascending. May peace be within our walls. May peace be within your home's walls. May peace be in your heart. Peace is the transition to gratefulness. Peace is the transition out of envy into gratefulness for every area of your life. Giving Him praise and glory. Leaving nothing hidden, putting everything on display. Is that good? Is that good? Alrighty. Let's stand. Well, just put out your hands where you're standing. Just put your hands out. Holy Spirit, our Father, Jesus Christ, we thank you for your fullness. We thank you for the way that you look after us. We thank you for the way that you bring freedom and salvation and restoration. We thank you for your wisdom that transcends our understanding. Lord, as we stand here this morning, we just want to give you praise. We want to give you glory. And God, I ask that you will awaken a heart of gratefulness in our hearts. You will open up our eyes and ears to see your reality, to see your kingdom. God, and as we focus and rest in your presence, that you will bring us peace. That you will move us from making rash and quick decisions to following after things that we're not supposed to follow on after. That we'll only seek to follow your presence. That we'll have the confidence to walk in your presence. And God, I just pray that we'll become a constant sound of worship and a constant sound of praise. Lord, that people will experience your presence just from being with us and around us. May we bubble with joy and with gladness. May we bubble in your presence. May we be that spring of living water. Lord, thank you that you've come to renew our hope. You've come to restore our faith. You've come to open our eyes. Lord, we open them. We want everything that you have to give us. We want all of it. We're not leaving anything on the side. We thank you for just who you are. Your word says we will worship and praise in full congregations. God, our church isn't full. The churches around us aren't full. Lord, we ask and call for a revival, an awakening of people that long to see your presence, people that long to see your glory, an awakening in the hearts of the reality of who you are. Lord, you are powerful, and we're in awe of your greatness, of your goodness, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Bless us. Bless us. Bless you guys. Turn to the person next to you, just say, you're blessed. And now invite them for a cup of coffee at the table. We just trust you guys all have a good week. We just want to bless everyone who's starting Lamb tomorrow. May your journey just be incredible, and may there be transformation every single evening.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.